RJ Barrett, Andrew Wiggins, Connor McDavid, they're all from Toronto. Joey Votto would be what?
Etobicoke. He says Etobicoke. Okay. Ask him.
Ryerson Rams taking on the Duke Blue Devils tonight. The game will be on ESPN. And here's ESPN analyst Jay Billis making his debut on Overdrive. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well, man. You enjoying Toronto or what?
It's been great. I always enjoy coming up to Canada, whether it's Vancouver or Montreal or Toronto. It's always fun being here.
I got to ask you about your Twitter account first and foremost, because you're a great follow on Twitter. But last time I checked, you don't follow anybody. Is that still the case? Like, when are you going to start following people?
I have a bone to pick with Twitter. If they're not going to let me follow myself, what's the point? I mean, if I can't enjoy my own feed, I don't see why I should follow anyone else.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way, actually. So we were talking about RJ Barrett, and he's the top-ranked guy coming into this class, and Duke's got a bunch of them, but how do you feel about the prospects of Barrett following through on this and actually being the first overall pick next year?
He's capable of it. I mean, I'm not. I know that's a goal for a lot of young players. But I think if you know, really look back, it's a very little consequence in the grand scheme of things. You know, most people don't remember where people were taken. They remember the career that they had. And RJ's got a chance to have a great career, not only in college for however long that lasts, but just a great career in basketball. So if he's responsible to his talent and keeps developing, he's gonna be a great one. Is he capable of being he's worthy of being the number one pick, but a lot's gonna happen between now and then, and you never know, you know, what's gonna be valued. Is somebody gonna jump up, you know, between now and then? There's a lot of time in between now and the draft. We thought one thing about a year ago, everybody thought it was gonna be Marvin Bagley III. And it wound up being DeAndre Ayton. So you never really know.
How much of an advantage is it for a kid to grow up with a basketball father, with a guy who played professionally in Europe, played national team, and was able, in a market like this, which isn't basketball central, to become that kind of player?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on the outcome more so, because there are a lot of guys that have basketball fathers and don't turn out to be good players at all, or great players. If you've got talent, to help have somebody that can help you hone the talent at an earlier age, it's great. But there are a heck of a lot of people that have played this game at a high level and coached at a high level, and their kids can't play dead. And so it really is more a thing about your talent, your aptitude. And I think Rowan Barrett has been very, very helpful to RJ. There's no question about it. But it's more a function of RJ's talent and his aptitude for the game than anything.
With Jay Billis of ESPN, he's in town tonight. The Duke Blue Devils are in Toronto taking on Ryerson this evening. Mentioned the recruitment class of Duke this year. It's being, you know, touted as an all-timer. There's some comparisons to the Fab Five. And with RJ Barrett being the caliber of player that he is, he probably could have picked his poison. He could have gone anywhere, and he decided to pick Duke, even though Zion Williamson is there and a couple of other highly touted kids. How do you feel about that decision from Barrett to join a program like this with other freshmen coming in that are almost, if not as highly touted as he is?
Well, I don't think any player is going to be as good as they can be unless they're playing with other great talent. So I'm not surprised that some of these great players decide to go with other great players to the same place. I think the very best players that understand the game, you know, aren't scared of playing with other greats. They know it's going to elevate them and make everybody better. So I'm not surprised by that. I don't know where to rank this class. I mean, I think it's being talked about as one of the great classes simply because there's so many, top five, top 10 players ranked in one year that have all gone to the same place. Because this class is not quite as good as the 1966 class that had Lou Alcindor in it. just because they're highly rated doesn't mean it's the best ever. It means it's the highest rated ever. And the truth is, those things are going to be determined by how they finish up, not by how they're rated now. And the Fab Five is remembered not because they were a highly rated class. Fab Five is remembered because they went to two straight national championship games. And if this class, you know, wins the whole thing, they'll be remembered as one of the great classes. If they don't, they won't be remembered quite that way. It may not be fair, but that's kind of the way it works.
But we do have here in Toronto the guy who traded Lou Alcindor in Wayne Embry, who we run into all the time. Jay, I want to ask you, they're playing Ryerson tonight. They're playing again before going to Montreal. But they're not stopping in Ottawa to play Carleton, the number one team in Canada forever. And some people are looking at that as they're kind of ducking. It's strange for Duke to be ducking Carleton, but some people are looking at it that way.
I'm not going to talk them out of it. They can look at it however they want. I don't believe that's the case. I don't understand, you know, sort of how their travel worked or how they decided to do all this stuff. But, you know, they're playing two games here in Toronto. This is a long trip. I'm actually surprised they're staying 7 days. These trips are primarily for most teams for them to get to know one another, to bond both on and off the court. They get some practices together. So it's a great opportunity. You can take one of these. NCAA basketball allows you to take one of these trips every 4 years. So this worked out great. And it worked out great because of R.J. Barrett, too. These games might have been better played in Toronto, but it's in Mississauga where R.J. Barrett's from. And so I don't know all that went into it, but I'd be surprised if Duke's ducking Carleton or anybody. I don't think they're afraid of Simon Fraser. I don't think they're afraid of anybody. I don't think that's a problem.
With Jay Billis of ESPN, you've been really outspoken about players not being paid and the inner workings of the NCAA. When you look at a trip like this and the expenses that go into it, take us behind the scenes, because I think you were on the flight up here. You're connected to Duke, connected to college sports unlike anybody else for the most part, and when it comes to basketball. Like, what kind of luxuries are these kids dealing with, even though they're not technically being paid, but what kind of program is Duke, if we're going to use them as an example, comparatively speaking to what you'd see in the NBA and the program that they would have?
Well, it doesn't compare to an NBA trip. This one does because of the plane that they had at this time of year. You know, you can get a plane that's being used for baseball or something like that. So because of the size of the travel party, they had a little bit bigger plane than they would travel on normally. But, you know, these games are sold out. So there's a gate. The university is making money off of it, and they're able to spend the money to pay the expenses of the entire trip. So it's I don't know how much is being made, but look, nobody's suffering on the trip. But if you ask me, it's a business trip. I mean, you know, so while people can sit and say, well, look, the players came up in this luxury, so did all the paid employees. Like, all Duke's paid employees flew up in that luxury, and they're not taking anything out of their check to do it too. So, this is business, and it's a great opportunity. It's a lot of fun. I assume you guys enjoy your jobs. Do you enjoy your job?
Yes, we do, yes.
Depends what day it is.
I love my job. Absolutely love it. But it doesn't mean I don't want to be paid because I love my job, or I don't think I should be paid, or I don't think I should be allowed, you know, my full economic rights in the marketplace. That's my only point. My point has never been that people should make less, or college sports, you know, folks don't deserve the money, or they don't deserve to travel the way they travel, or to make, you know, to generate the revenue they make. It's just let the players share in it. You know, no other student, you know, let them have the same economic rights as any other student. You know, the only student in college that is told that they cannot make money in the marketplace and have full economic rights like anyone else is an athlete. Every other student can do whatever they want. They can accept a scholarship. They can work. All they have to do is turn their papers in on time and take their tests. You know, only athletes are told they cannot make money. They cannot trade off their name and likeness, stuff like that. And there's really no, you know, I haven't heard a good reason for it other than we feel like it. And that's not, to me, that's not a good enough reason in a multi-billion-dollar business.
Really appreciate you doing this. I know it's been a busy couple of days up here. I'm sure we'll catch up with you down the road. Enjoy tonight. Thanks, Jay.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys.
There's Jay Billis of ESPN.